Welcome back to the Junks live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan in Richmond and Monumental Sports Network 2. We're presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. Ben Valin, who covers the NFL for the Boston Globe, will join us coming up at 7:20. But it's 7 o'clock, that's skins hitting time. Hit the skins, brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit the skins right now? Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case? Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. You can grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code JUNKIES. You get 10% off. And remember, Don't Sleep makes you great radio listener.
All right, so obviously most of you heard yesterday afternoon. I actually didn't hear it for a couple hours afterwards. Was out running around, but John Allen has a torn pec, out for the year.
That is crusher.
I think probably many of you saw the play where he kind of rolls around on the ground, grabs his pec. I think shortly afterwards he walked off. I don't quite understand how you could tear a pec. I mean, I know that those guys are just battling and just, so you know. I understand tearing a pec like bench pressing, you know, shoulder pressing or something, but I don't understand it. You know, when you're playing,
was it from a fall onto the ground, or was it during like hand fighting?
Well, I'm sure they were hand fighting. Yeah. You know, you saw him roll down. Like, obviously, something happened. But I mean, these are just devastating.
That's how strong the guys are.
Powerful dudes, you know, like battling each other, and just,
I guess
these guys are beasts.
Yeah. I wonder if it was sore or like on the verge, of sort of popping before. I'm very curious.
I was told that when he came off the field, he didn't think it was that serious.
Yeah, right. He didn't look like he was distraught.
Yeah. So,
but we can ask him all about it. He's going to join us at 9 a.m. today.
Yeah. No, so, I'm definitely going to ask him. I feel for him. He's out for the year. USA Today has a little article, and they talk about, you know, John's been here for a long time, been a model employee. He did have a moment last year, I think it was, where he was super frustrated, and he questioned whether or not he even wanted to be here. But
I'm sure he was echoing the sentiment of his teammates.
Like, yeah.
That was after the Giant game, wasn't it?
He was frustrated. Yeah. But he's been here like 8 years. He's finally waiting for a good team, and it appears that we have a decent team, even though the Ravens put it to us pretty good. We have a decent team this year. Could be competitive and beat some teams. It sucks.
Next man up. I mean,
does suck.
Look, they
him.
Drafted Johnny Newton, so they have more depth than usual. So you're going to probably see a lot more of Fedarian Mathis and Johnny Newton. I watched a clip of Dan Campbell talking about the loss of Aiden Hutchinson. Reporters like, is this going to hurt your chances to win a Super Bowl? Do you think you have enough to win a Super Bowl without Aiden Hutchinson, who leads the NFL in sacks with 7.5? He'll be out for the year with his torn, broken tibia, I believe?
Broken leg. Yeah,
left leg.
And he was like, it's the reality. It's next man up.
Yep.
We believe we have enough. So no, same thing
but when you
for
lose
the Commanders.
Like Pro Bowl caliber and like, I mean, Hutchinson's one of the best pass rushers. Might be the best
of
in
course.
The league. Crushes you.
The problem is,
I'm
Jonathan,
looking at it from John's perspective.
Oh yeah, it sucks for him.
Yeah, not looking at
Jonathan Allen gets double teamed a lot, and so next man up. But I'm not sure you're going to be able to stop the run. Not that they were stopping the run with Jonathan Allen.
Certainly made it more difficult.
This is going to affect their defense.
They're hyping up Johnny Newton, and you know that he slipped, and they can't believe they got him where they got him and everything. And of course, he's had two little operations to fix his feet or whatever the hell was going on there. He certainly hasn't hit his stride yet. Listen, I don't put a ton of stock in PFF grades, but Johnny Newton was their lowest rated defensive player, you know, against the Ravens.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's far from.
The question is, can they take the snaps? Because Jonathan Allen, DeRon Payne take a lot of snaps.
Well, they produced that this year. But
that's true. That's because they added Newton and Mathis. But the fact that they still take a lot of snaps and these guys are going to have to step up and take equal amount of snaps, that's going to affect them. It will.
But again, just from a personal standpoint, feel bad for John. You know, he's been coming on our show for several years now. And he had a couple sacks starting to come on a little bit. And it just sucks to lose it for
the year. He's just going to have to be there on a t-shirt on the sidelines just watching every week.
Jason was talking about double team percentages. This is from PFF on October 9th, so it doesn't include the last game. And I'm not sure if it was for just 1 week or for the season to date. DeRon Payne had been double teamed on 54.3%.
That's a lot.
Of his snaps. But Jonathan Allen wasn't that far behind. Jonathan Allen double teamed on 49.3%.
Yeah, basically half snaps. The time. I mean,
I think those numbers were bigger this past week too.
Even, yeah. So 50% of the time the guys are getting doubled. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
means the other guy. That's why honestly guys like Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvin, those guys are making plays. It's kind of also, I mean, they know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. You know, it's kind They're of by well design. Aware. That's why you need those guys to make plays.
Basically 4-on-2. It's four offensive linemen mm-hmm. typically, or at least on 50% of these snaps, mm-hmm. against two interior linemen in Dron Payne and Jonathan
Allen. I don't know
Allen.
How these guys can deal with it. I would be so frustrated. But, you know, the great ones, you know, are great for a reason. But can you imagine being double-teamed every time?
No.
And sometimes, I mean, these guys are huge. John's a huge guy. And sometimes they're thrown around like rag dolls.
Well, I mean, you got, I mean, offensive linemen, they can be like 350 pounds.
Yeah.
Get two of them against you.
It's crazy.
Well, think how good somebody like Dexter Lawrence is. So Dexter Lawrence, the interior lineman for the Giants, I think has 7 sacks. Mm-hmm. And
probably,
according to this, he's been double-teamed 65% of the time.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
And some guy, now I don't know who this
what
is,
about
from Houston.
I got Chris Jones has to be
oh yeah,
doubled all the time, too.
Do you know Folarunsu Fotukasi?
I don't know if I've ever heard the name before.
I'm sure he's probably doubled.
89 run defense snaps, 64 run defense snaps versus two or more blockers. Double team rate, 72%.
Well, he's clearly a problem, a handful.
Just getting back to the PFF grades always, I'm just kind of curious. Again, I don't put a ton of stock in it because they don't know the assignments. They're just kind of guessing. But Mike Sannestrell, defensively, highest rated guy. That's good for him because he's been coming along, right? I think by most people you could say, even to a casual observer, he started slow this mm-hmm. year. Learning curve is maybe higher than anticipated. But had his first career interception, the first interception for the team. He had a 75 rating from PFF. Bobby Wagner, who, I mean, it's obvious. I understand why Drab was okay to see him go. He doesn't cover a lot of ground, but he's a vet. He's seems to be in the right space. And if you're in his box,
right.
he's going to bring you down.
Well, plus what he brings to the locker room, too,
of course,
like culture yeah. and leadership.
But
like
he was their second highest ranked player defensively. Javonte Jean-Baptiste, third ranked. Dante Fowler and Cleland Farrell round out
Jean-Baptiste suffered an injury, too, so hopefully he's okay to go.
I think Farrell was his first game back since like week two or something.
Yeah.
Like, and I felt his presence just watching it. On television. Offensively, again, take these for whatever they're worth. They don't know the assignments, but you would guess, and you would be right, Jaden Daniels, highest-rated guy offensively for the Commanders. Terry McLaurin right there with him, both with 78.6 ratings. Noah Brown is third-highest. Cornelius Lucas and Tyler Biotish cakes. Are your top five?
I thought the offensive line played well against the Ravens.
Yeah, most of those guys are up there. The lowest rated offensive lineman, your boy, Cakes, Andrew Wiley.
That's my guy?
Down there is.
He's
the
my
bottom.
Boy all of a sudden?
Yeah, it's your buddy.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Were
don't
they
know
rotating?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, because Coleman played 30
snaps. Lucas and Coleman, right?
Yeah, they both basically played half the time.
Yeah.
Coleman played 30 snaps. Cornelius Lucas played 29. Let me see. The guys that played every snap, if you're curious offensively, obviously Jaden, Tyler Biotish, who everybody's raving about, Sam Cosmi, who's kind of coming into his own and rewarded, Nick Allegretti, and the aforementioned Andrew Wiley. Couple off-field.
Don't you think the interior of the line
has been markedly better?
Yeah, Biotish, Allegretti, and Cosmi. When Cosmi's healthy, he's one of the best guards in the league.
Those are two really good free agent signings, yeah, Allegretti and Biotish. Biotish got the bigger money coming in.
This is what I thought was going to happen when they signed Nick Gates.
Yeah.
It just didn't work.
Yeah. That did not work very well.
All right, did he find a new home? Where's Nick Gates?
I think he did. He landed maybe, I can't remember. I saw him sign a deal. I can't remember who it's with.
Eagles.
Ah.
Valdez, one of your own. Is knocking out Skins fans. I don't know what's going on here. Video spread on social media showing a Ravens fan in a Lamar jersey attacking two Commanders fans in Baltimore.
It's a pretty disturbing video.
The first guy.
In the stadium?
No, outside. Out on the street.
Oh, okay. Looks like he's a pretty big dude.
Yeah, he's a big dude. He kicks the first guy and then punches him in the face, knocks him out.
Just drops him.
And then goes after the second guy, and then there's kind of a mad scramble. They must have been talking trash
to each other.
I think the Ravens dude was just super aggressive, like, and he just saw two guys in Commanders jerseys and engaged with them, and then he stole the first dude, dropped him, and the other guy, he just grabbed him and jacked him up against the wall, and I think he hit him once or twice, and then that guy got away, but...
Of course,
it got filmed, and I think I saw like he's already been fired from his job, like good, and he could be brought up on charges. He should be brought up on assault charges.
That's assault for sure.
I think somebody said it's potential felony assault charges
for sure. You can't just knock out guys like that.
His team won the game. Why are you in
He's out of his mind.
Why are you in such a foul mood when your team just won a game?
He's clearly out of his mind.
He probably had 50 beers.
High as a kite or had 100 beers,
probably
whatever it is.
50 beers at the game, and it's just he was on a warpath.
Yeah, so hopefully
they'll catch him.
Please put him in prison.
Hopefully. Well, yeah, you can see all the social media things.
I mean, you're laughing. Like, why? That guy should be...
He should go to jail. I don't know, prison, but jail. Yeah.
I mean, I think he's going to get... real jail time.
You can see, name. He's a producer and sales executive, or was a producer and sales executive.
I mean, you could kill.
Have you not seen the video, Jason?
Hitting him in the head like that, dude. Like,
Jason hadn't seen it, so here's your reaction.
He is an idiot,
big dude, and he's got his buddy filming him from behind.
Right, his buddy's like
knocks that guy out cold, and then then he brags like, "I never lose."
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's gonna lose when he's doing jail time.
Mayors, were you guys aware of this? The mayors did their wacky little bit where they were betting.
Did that?
Yes.
Oh, such an awful bit.
Let me see. The Baltimore mayor is Brandon Scott. Apparently, he started it. He posted a video on Twitter with a message to our brothers and sisters in D.C. When the Ravens win, he wants Muriel Bowser to declare Scott's birthday as Baltimore Club Music Day.
That sounds lame.
And he said he also wants to give DC's mayor to give the Baltimore mayor whatever kind of crab cakes you guys actually have in DC.
Oh, he's joning.
Yeah, he's joning.
And then she accepted it, and she said when the Commanders win, you'd have to declare DC Go-Go Day, and we get your crab cakes. And then something about the pandas at the zoo or something.
I mean, pandas are en route, by the way.
Pandas are coming back. They'll be back by 9:30.
Now, they're not the same pandas that got shipped to China, right? Just different pandas.
Yeah, it's like those old farts are about to donk off.
Are they real pandas or are they dogs painted as pandas?
You know what? We'll have to have boots on the ground at the zoo to check that.
There's a
controversy.
Remember
we talked about that story that there were like a couple dogs?
There was a Chinese zoo where they painted the dog like... I think it was two Chow Chows. They painted them in a panda color scheme and put them in the habitat, and they tried to hoodwink all the people coming into the zoo.
I think I was out that day.
They're about this big.
I've never heard of
I doubt it.
I've never heard of that.
I bet you were here.
Well, it happened.
Yeah.
And people are like, are you serious? Why are you trying to get dogs spray painted as pandas?
That's hilarious.
What are we doing here?
So obviously...
By the way, Muriel Bowser, the mayor, is going to be on the show on Thursday because I believe... she's giving the key to the city to Daryl Green.
Ah, very good.
They're
going
to have some sort of Daryl Green celebration. So we'll talk to Mayor Bowser on Thursday.
His jersey retirement is this weekend at Northwest Stadium.
Mm-hmm. Well, you think for our 30th we can get a key to the city?
No. We're not getting that.
You don't think?
No.
No.
History tells me no.
All we do is talk about how we just can't wait to get in our cars and speed out of D.C.
We hate coming into the city. They're going to give us keys to it.
They're going
to
give us the keys to the city.
I don't want a key to the city.
You don't want to come in?
I don't want to come in.
I just want somebody to take out this piece of glass out of my foot.
I just want the honor.
Here's what I want.
Yeah.
My own parking spot. Just give me a parking spot like right here near the building. Give me an honorary parking spot.
You don't have to pay for?
Yeah, sure.
He definitely doesn't want to pay for it.
That's way better than a key to the city. It's way more valuable. Right?
All right. I guess. I mean,
Dumb key to the city.
I'm fine with my parking right now. I love my parking.
Yeah, but you have to pay for it. I want a free parking spot.
It's fine.
You're getting free electricity, though.
I am getting... That is true.
Yeah.
To charge my car.
JP and I don't pay for our spots. Just saying.
Well, you do. You tip.
Yeah, you tip every month. Yeah, you know, they know.
I don't have to.
They know.
I can tip them, you know, a dollar every other day.
I know, but you barely tip them.
I don't nub them.
I don't nub them. I pay as much as he does.
How much is JP nubbing him per month?
$150 a month, maybe?
I give $100 a month.
Okay.
A month.
All right.
You pay less than $100 a month?
Oh, he definitely does.
$2 a day.
$2 or $3 a day.
So he's like $60 tops.
No. $2 or $3 a day for the drop off and the pickup.
So it's like $5.
Okay.
And the good news
is about $100.
You get it back in food you steal from the hotel.
Yeah, that's true. You're subsidizing.
Hey, good point.
It's a great scam. All right, when we come back, we'll continue to talk NFL with Ben Valin, covers the NFL for the Boston Globe. And at 8:20, Barry Zwerluga from the Washington Post will join us here on The Junk. Time to head to the BetQL guest hotline. BetQL analyzes every game to find you the most profitable betting opportunities, and everybody wants those. Get 3 free days of BetQL access. Just download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com. We say good morning to Ben Valin. He covers the NFL for the Boston Globe. What's up, Ben? Good morning.
Sports Junkies, how are we doing today?
We're doing well. I think I'm on about 4 hours sleep because I stayed up too late watching the Bills beat the Jets, and also the refs throw so many yellow flags last night. Now, I love the NFL. I love the product. I consume it on a weekly basis. But I don't know. Can they do anything about reducing the penalties, especially the weird ticky-tack, like formation penalties about like the tight end's not exactly on the line or the receiver's not cut? Like,
no, the worst is landing on the quarterback.
Well, that's clearly, that one has to go too. But is there a practical way to reduce the penalties? Because it becomes unwatchable.
It felt like too much of a ref show last night. I think there were 30 flags when you factor in all the declined penalties.
Right.
But it's like, to me, the formation penalties are the ones that's on the team. That's on the players for not knowing the rules. Mm-hmm. And like Bill Belichick said this during the Manning cast last night, those penalties require nothing but mental awareness and knowing the rules.
Right.
Where I do think they could pull back is, as one of you just mentioned, the body weight penalty, which I give the NFL credit. I hadn't seen it as much this year. It's not like that penalty has dominated the games, been a point of emphasis like it has in the past. But even Aaron Rodgers last night criticized the refs for calling that one, and he used a South Park reference. We might as well play Sarcastaball if we're just going to call those. So it's the ticky-tack, it's the roughing the passer, it's the offensive holding penalties, defensive holding. You could call those penalties on every single play if you really wanted to. So last night was bad, but I haven't seen every game become a ref show this year. I haven't seen a lot of games being marred by flags. So I think that was just an officiating crew last night that was, got a little too big for its britches, maybe.
What's your take on the status right now of the Jets at 2-4? Obviously, Rodgers isn't playing at a real high level. He's turning the ball over. Last 2 weeks, he had the turnover where he underthrew Williams in London, lose that game to the Vikings. Then obviously last night, 2-4, man. I mean, they got to go on a little bit of a run here.
Yeah, Rodgers played better last night than he did in the past, but boy, it's a good thing the Jets fired their defensive-oriented head coach, because that just fixed all of their problems. The offense is what has been the Jets' issues, and even last night they still only scored 20 points. I know they missed a couple chip-shot field goals, but 1-for-4 in the red zone, not an impressive performance by Todd Downing in his first game as offensive coordinator. And then, what do you know, the Jets' defense was awful last night. They got gashed by the Bills' run game and got consistently blown off the line of scrimmage. Jets, I still believe that with Rodgers, they can put it together. He's a guy that in the past, especially with Green Bay, would kind of struggle the first couple months of the season. He'd have to tell the fans R-E-L-A-X and that kind of thing. And then second half of the season, they'd string it together and go on a run. So I think that's still possible here for Rodgers and the Jets. They do have a lot of talent, but the organization is a mess. I don't understand how firing Robert Saleh solves anything. You've changed leadership now at a crucial point of the season. They were only 2-3. If they won last night, they'd be in first place. So there's still plenty of season left. There are a lot of guys in that locker room like Sauce Gardner who are really hurt by their firing. So I just very strange move by Woody Johnson and by the real power in New York there, Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. So, Ben, I saw you tweet about Nick Sirianni, and we'll get to Washington, the NFC East here in a moment, but the Eagles just don't seem right. He's chirping at the fans, and then you tweeted that he did a Bush League move. Tell us what he did.
Yeah, I mean, I was not a fan of this, and it's not just Nick Sirianni. I hate it when the NBA players do this. He brought his kids up onto the podium after the game for his postgame.
Oh, did we lose him?
I think we might have lost Ben. Oh, there we go.
And I've heard from fans, oh, he does this a lot after home wins. I don't care if he does it a lot. It's Bush League every single time he does it. And especially the other day when he's under fire now. I mean, he's acting like a maniac once again on the sidelines and going at fans. And, you know, the guy hears everything and can't let a single slight go. And it's like, I've never seen a situation where the players have to calm the head coach down and tell him to chill out. And Nick Sirianni, it's like that's what he's been doing over the years, and he just can't help himself. And he's clearly under fire. His offense is only averaging 17 points a game the last 4 weeks. Jalen Hurts is a mess. You know, I think Sirianni probably should have been fired over the offseason. He was lucky to keep his job, and he's clearly feeling the heat. And to bring his kids up onto the podium to kind of, you know, he claims it was about, well, instilling the love of football in your children. Like, give me a break. That is a professional time. Everyone's working. You're the leader of the organization, and you're holding your kids up on the podium to kind of act as a human shield, to shield you from hard questions. I thought it was really Bush League by Sirianni, and a really poor show of accountability and leadership from a guy that's why you're paid the big money, to be accountable and to show leadership. So really not a fan of anyone who brings their kids up onto the podium during these press conferences.
So Ben, sticking in the NFC East, the Cowboys just humiliated at home 47-9 in the loss to the Detroit Lions. In their three losses this year, the Cowboys have been outrushed by those three teams 648-172. They have a real problem stopping the run when teams like Baltimore and Detroit pay them a visit. I mean, is this fixable? And you talked about the heat on previous coaches. The heat's on Mike McCarthy heading into the bye week, I would think.
I mean, the heat couldn't be any hotter on Mike McCarthy. I would be shocked if Jerry Jones made a move during the season, though. I mean, the whole point of the season was to let Mike McCarthy go into the final year of his deal and coach it out and see how he does. So I think, you know, absent maybe a week or two to go, I wouldn't expect Mike McCarthy to be fired. I think Jerry Jones is going to give him time to figure this out. But absolutely, first of all, there's not much shame in giving up some running yards to the Ravens and the Lions. I mean, these two are probably the two best offenses in the NFL right now. The Ravens are ridiculous, averaging like 215, 220 yards a game on the ground. And the Lions have really woken up the last 2 weeks. I think they've scored 11 touchdowns in their last two games. So, you know, the Cowboys, there's no shame in giving up some yards and some points to those teams. But, yeah, the Cowboys have their bye week now. Mike Zimmer, their defensive coordinator, he's new this year. Only there on a one-year deal, so everyone in that organization is on the hot seat, and they've got to use this bye week wisely. They've got two tough games coming up now, at San Fran and at Atlanta, another team that's rolling with Kirk Cousins right now. And then they come home to face the Eagles and Texans. So this is a very crucial part of the schedule for Dallas. They've got to emerge. They're 3-3 now. You've got to think they've got to get to 6-4 to really feel good about their chances heading into the final stretch. But, you know, Dak Prescott, you know, shouldn't escape criticism either. It only scored 9 points against the Lions last week. Just a total failure by the Cowboys organization. And with the Commanders playing so well, I don't think the Cowboys can afford to get too far behind in the NFC East.
Yeah, I can't believe they went into the season thinking Zeke Elliott would be their number one RB. I mean, it's just incredible. All right, let's talk about the team that you follow closely up there in Boston. What was the fans' reaction and the media, the local media, to Drake May, first of all, getting the start and then how he played? I watched some of the game. I'm a Drake May fan. Clearly, the three turnovers is you're going to go, okay, well, rookie making rookie mistakes. But he had three really nice drives, and then the first touchdown pass was beautiful to Boutte. And they scored more points. You know, he had more touchdown passes than Brissett had total. So your thoughts on the way May played and how the fans reacted?
Yeah, you know, I think you said it. You know, for the first, like, quarter and a half, it looked really dreadful. Like, why are the Patriots putting this kid in with this team that has no talent and they're clearly not ready for a rookie quarterback? I think they went three and out, you know, their first three drives, couldn't get anything going. Drake May sailed a throw, led to an interception. And you're heading into the half being like, oh, man, this is going to be an ugly season. And then out of nowhere, boom, he leads the two-minute drill and throws that 40-yard touchdown to Kayshon Boutte right before the half. And, man, was that an eye-opening throw. That was – this is not hyperbole. That was the best throw by a Patriots quarterback in the last 5 years. They have not had a quarterback between Cam Newton, Mac Jones, and Jacoby Brissett who could step up and throw the ball on the dime and make quick strike plays like that. And then the second half, it was eye-opening. It wasn't like a string of amazing plays, but his ability to scramble and throw on the run and get receivers uncovered. He hit DeMario Douglas for a 35-yard catch-and-run touchdown. Just like the big play element that we haven't seen since Tom Brady left 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, the Patriots, they lost by 20 to the Texans. They had the three turnovers, a ton of penalties, sloppy day. And yet, if you're a fan, you came out of there feeling pretty good. Like, okay, we have a quarterback now. We've got a big physical guy who can run, has got an arm, can make some throws. He's going to take some chances down the field. And now it's all about teaching him how to play winning football and putting some pieces around him, which unfortunately for the Patriots is not going to happen overnight. They have so many needs, receiver, offensive line, that it's going to take another year or two. But you've got to be impressed with Drake May's physical talent and what he's able to bring to the position. That those are skills that, you know, Jacoby Brissett, Mac Jones, just they didn't have, and they couldn't. You can't fake some of that stuff. So Drake May, I think it was certainly an eye-opening performance in his first NFL start.
Ben, what do you make of this Belichick media foray? It's got to be interesting for you, having covered him all these years. And then, you know, I guess he took some shots at Woody Johnson, you know, this weekend. And, of course, people are now obviously connecting him to the Cowboys. I mean, is that a situation that could that even work, Jerry and Belichick together?
I think it would work just because, if you remember, Jerry Jones hired Bill Parcells 20 years ago, and that was when Bill Parcells was kind of at the height of his powers and could have as much control as he wanted. I think Belichick just wants to get back in the game badly enough that he's willing to put up with an owner who meddles a little bit more than Robert Kraft did over the years, and he's willing to not have total personnel control as long as it's someone that he works with. The media tour is interesting. It almost feels like Belichick's overexposed. He's got like seven different media outlets that he's working with throughout the week. I can't keep up with all of them. I really just watch him on the Peyton Manning, Eli Manning broadcast on ESPN2, where his live game analysis is unbelievable. The detail that he sees in real time is just mind-blowing, and he's able to convey that information in a very digestible way. So Belichick, if he wants to do the media thing, he'd be the best game analyst ever. I can listen to him break down football all day long. But he definitely, I think he's using these media opportunities to show the owners how smart he is and how personable he can be. And hey, look at me, I'm photogenic now and I'm telegenic and I'm big, happy, fun Bill, who's your fun grandpa. So I think he really is just using this to try to get back into the game. And the team I've got my eyes on are the ones we talked about before. I'm looking at the Eagles. I think Sirianni's in real trouble there. Belichick has a very good relationship with the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, who's a Boston guy and, you know, loves all the Boston sports teams except the Patriots now. Belichick has a good relationship with Howie Roseman. I think that's a situation where they've got a lot of talent and they just need some coaching, and it's like a ready-made roster. Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia were guests of the Eagles a few weeks ago on that big primetime game. I forget who they were playing, but clearly there's a good relationship there. So I think if Belichick does get back into coaching, I've got my eyes on the Eagles next year.
Ben, what have your takeaways been from Tom Brady and his new gig as a commentator for Fox?
I haven't sat down and watched like every game that he's done because I'm at Patriots games every Sunday, but I've certainly heard some of his broadcasts, and it's kind of what I expected. It's pretty blah. It's pretty boring. It's just run-of-the-mill analysis. And I certainly don't think it's worth Fox's $37.5 million a year. I think you can get better analysis for a tenth of that. And I just always felt that the broadcaster gig is a weird fit for Tom Brady because it relies on spontaneity and relatability, and those have never been Brady's strong suits. He's always been very carefully planned. His press conferences, he never said much interesting. And he, you know, it'd be great if he could sit there like Belichick and really break down the tactics and why teams are attacking certain ways. But he, you know, it's really just surface level analysis right now. So it's fine. It's not like he detracts from the broadcast, but I don't really see why, you know, despite his big name, I don't see really what he's adding to the broadcast so far.
All right, Ben, we got to run. Hey, are you heading to London to cover Jags Pats? Are you that lucky?
Uh-huh. Yeah, this is I am going, and this is our, like, you know, revenge for the War of 1812 or whatever, giving them this terrible football game. Doug Peterson, guys, I think is lucky to have survived that loss to the Bears. If they were playing in the U.S. this week, I think Doug Peterson would be fired.
Yeah.
If they lose to the Patriots, Doug Peterson,
he's gone.
He's got to be gone. Yeah, right. He's got to be gone. So the London game is famous for claiming coaches. We might get another one this week.
All right, Ben, thanks as always, man. Always good talking to you.
All right, appreciate you guys.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Ben Vallin covers the NFL for the Boston Globe. Don't forget, coming up at 8:20, Barry's Verluga from the Washington Post will join us. We'll talk about Commanders and Major League playoffs and more with Barry. Bank local, cheer local in business. Every day is game day. Business is always moving up or down, but never still. That's why the Main Street Bank team treats every day like game day. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank proudly serving the DMV since 2004. That's 20 years. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, equal housing opportunity lender. Guests upcoming on the show, don't forget, Barry's Verluga will join us at 8:20 from the Washington Post. And Jonathan Allen will join us at 9 a.m.
Of course,
under adverse circumstances, he will miss the remainder of the season with a pec injury suffered in the game against the Ravens.
It's just terrible.
Which sucks.
I didn't see that story for a couple hours. I was out running around with my youngest. You know, they were home yesterday. I guess it was Columbus Day, Indigenous people, whatever they want to call it. I call it Columbus Day.
I don't think Columbus gets any more love at this point.
Yeah, well, he does for me.
Okay. I call it Columbus Day.
So. I think it's Columbus Day.
It's not a holiday here, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
With this company, no right. holiday.
But funny, I ran into a family that I know. I was at Potbelly yesterday with Isabella. Now, she goes to Catholic school. There was no school.
Did you silly wreck? A wreck on wheat?
No, oh, they so had a good. New sandwich.
So good.
I forget the name of the sandwich.
Okay.
But it is barbecue pork.
Like it?
Plus their mac and cheese
oh,
in it.
Oh, that sounds delicious. I'd love to have one
and
this afternoon.
And it was excellent.
I'm sure it was great.
It was excellent. But I saw a family that I knew and their two kids, and I was like, oh, you guys didn't have school today? Because
mm-hmm.
I know public schools mm-hmm. had school. Your wife was teaching.
My wife was on the grind.
Public Dylan schools. Had school.
Yeah. Public schools in Loudoun didn't.
Okay, so it's different
Bill
everywhere.
County,
but in Montgomery County, they had school, and the mom said, she's like, I feel terrible. They actually had school, didn't think that they had school. And I was like, well, it's day off for the kids. Kids get happy.
So she just spaced the fact that they had school that day and didn't send
she
them?
She assumed no school.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's
but there was school.
Well, Columbus / Indigenous Peoples Day has always been like...
It's on the fringe.
It's a tightrope.
It's a bubble team.
It's a tightrope holiday. That's right. What it is.
It's fringe.
Well, whatever it was, my daughter was home. I had to occupy her, keep her busy. My wife is at a conference, and so I'm playing Mr. Mom for the
local
next 3 days.
Local conference, or is it a trip? Away trip?
It's an away thing.
Ah, okay.
So it's one of those deals.
My wife was at a conference, too. It was at Pete's Coffee all day.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That sounds like an amazing
She's
conference.
She's not happy about that.
What?
You sound really happy about that.
I'm just being sarcastic. By
the way, he's just alluding to the fact that his wife doesn't have a job.
Yes. All your wives do.
I'm not boat racing your story, but Valdez, we're at DEF CON 1 on coffee filters. I need to bring them in tomorrow, or else we're going to have a real coffee emergency tomorrow.
Need to hide them.
Okay, that's fine, but we just need them.
Okay.
Otherwise, zippy coffee, and we'll be paying Uber Eats $30 for two cups of coffee. And I'll set
a reminder to stop at the store.
Set a reminder.
Oh, I have some at home. Just remind me,
but
I'll hook it.
But you know, I know you guys are kind of the same way. Our wives, basically, I mean, they're godsends. They take care of everything.
Yep, they're amazing.
I mean, we're basically bumps on a log. We're useless. I know JP coaches, and I do a lot of stuff with my kids, obviously. We all do stuff with our kids, but...
I'm pre-planning my nap today.
But, yeah.
12:30 or 1 o'clock.
But I got to tell you, I play a lot of golf.
Yeah.
I do a lot of relaxation. I'm in the hot tub. Mm-hmm. I'm in the sauna. I mean, right. I do a lot of me
time.
It's a
life of leisure.
So I am a man of leisure.
Right.
But when my wife leaves, all of a sudden now I'm thrust into the
mystery. You don't know what to do.
Well, it's like... There's laundry that needs to be folded.
I gotta buy one of Elon's robots. He'll come over and fold it for you.
You know, I'm not into robots, but I would get one to fold laundry.
Well, to also do all the other household drudgery.
Like I had to, I got to feed her. Like my wife often says to me, because I am a man of leisure.
Yeah.
She says, you have to feed your daughter.
Sure.
You know,
she
like,
needs meals.
Yeah, you got to feed her. You got to make sure she has food for school.
Yeah.
You got to... you got to make her dinner when she's home.
Yeah. That means a lot of carry out, a lot of
So I actually said, you know what? Like, because I haven't done this very much with my youngest. I said, let's you and I go out on a date. Let's go out to dinner.
Okay.
You pick the spot.
Okay. Like it.
Right?
Put the ball on her court. Yeah.
Yeah. She decided, we couldn't come up with a place. She couldn't come up with one that was, so I said, well, how about I just cook you something? What do you want me to cook you? Mm. So she said, steak.
Okay.
So we went to Safeway,
picked
out a silly porterhouse.
Okay, nice.
We might have to have...
Did you grill it? Did you cook it in a cast iron?
It was so late. I didn't feel like going outside on the grill. Okay. I just didn't feel like dealing with it.
All right, so then what was
it? I did a flat skillet.
Okay.
And I just did it on my silly Wolf Range.
Like a griddle?
I guess.
A griddle steak?
Listen, it was that was a week... Part
okay.
I just didn't feel like going outside. It's been a little windy and chilly. I just didn't feel like.
Did you at least properly season the steak before?
Well, that's what I'm going to say. We might have to have a steak off. I am elite at just seasoning my steaks.
What'd you put on it? Salt and pepper.
A salt and pepper guy.
Yeah.
I'm an adobo. I can't tell you all my secret ingredients. But I'm big adobo. I put adobo on everything but like peanut butter and jelly. Mm-hmm. Like I put adobo on anything I'm cooking. Okay.
Okay.
Adobo, salt and pepper, couple other secret ingredients.
Okay. Right. Gotcha.
I'm elite at cooking it. Rare plus.
Did you let the steak rest out of the fridge for at least 30 minutes while you put the seasonings on them?
Yes.
Because that's pretty critical.
And then you gotta let it rest for 30 minutes after cooking.
30 minutes?
No. I didn't let it
go. No, not 30
minutes. Because I want to eat it hot.
5 to 7 minutes.
No, it's like 20 to 30 minutes.
Let me just tell you.
Are you insane?
I don't want to eat a cold steak.
What culinary school did you attend where they tell you to let your steaks rest?
No, you
got to
let it rest for a long time. The longer it rests, the juicier the meat is.
10 minutes.
I'm happy to compete.
You're getting Dikembe right out of this conversation.
Who wants a piece of this?
Mike Love Marr a piece
does.
Of steak.
Huh?
Mike Marr wants a piece. He said he's elite.
I make great steaks, man. Ribeye. I mean.
Let's go.
Look at this. I mean, you can't see this picture. I'll show you during break, though. Perfect medium rare. Saute,
medium
a little butter, a little thyme.
I do rare plus.
Mm-hmm.
Basically rare.
We should have a blind taste test. You versus Marr.
Yep. A steak off.
Bring it on.
Where are you going to cook it?
I don't know. I can cook it on a George Foreman grill, man.
Hey, no thermometers.
No,
I would never use a thermometer.
No thermometers.
I would never use a thermometer.
No, it's a feel, more of a tingle.
I don't need a thermometer.
You gotta be a steak tingle guy.
You know what? I worked at a restaurant. I just put my finger on it.
I was gonna say, do you know the finger?
What?
The test where you touch your finger like that.
You look like Patrick Mahomes waiting for a play to be called in.
Like this. You turned your mic off.
Yeah, you're all.
I don't know what you're doing.
Sorry. This is like rare. This is medium rare. This is medium well. This is well done.
Yeah, I could just tell by just feeling it.
I know, but like the different feel.
Yeah, okay. I don't need this grid that you need in the Dina.
You don't even need to feel it. You just have like a time that it's on the grill.
Same thing. We're doing the same thing.
You flip it a certain amount of times.
Yeah, I know.
You get it. It's grill marks. You gotta take care of it.
I'm just telling you. I think I'm an elite.
I'm a big cast iron guy.
Cast iron skillet is next level. Those steaks are good.
Yeah.
Get a nice sear on them. Stick them in the oven.
I didn't have a sear. Just.
Though at least I have grabbed the handle of the cast iron skillet after it's been in the oven at 400 degrees Do you think that feels good without enough in it?
No.
Burn my supple baby skin hands.
Well, what are you doing?
I forgot.
You just forgot it was going to be
hot? I forgot that it had been in the oven, and I had placed it on the top of the range. Then I took the glove off, and I was like, oh, let me just grab this.
That must have hurt like a bee.
Seared my hand to the skillet. But that only happened once.
But you know what else? I got this steak, and I wanted to get a veggie, and my daughter, she doesn't eat a lot of veggies, but she likes broccoli.
Right.
We eat broccoli probably 4 to 5 times a week. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're big broccoli guys.
Broccoli. Cruciferous vegetables, broccoli, cauliflower.
I've never seen this before. There was no broccoli in the Safeway.
Really?
I've literally never seen it. In fact, there wasn't even where it's all... I always get, I'm sure you do the same thing, just the broccoli crowns.
Not
they're cut
one
off.
Broccoli crown anywhere?
They didn't even have the section was filled with kale salad.
Oh, gross.
And I looked everywhere. It wasn't even organic broccoli. Is there a broccoli shortage?
I don't know, but I'll tell you what
going
there was.
On?
There was a shortage of at the Harry Teeter a couple days ago, avocados.
Oh, I can see that.
There were like 3 avocados, and they were brown.
And hurting.
I was like, what's going on
here? You're not getting those.
No, of course not.
I've never, in my 54 years on Earth, not seen broccoli.
Broccoli's usually a staple.
I mean,
usually
what is going on?
It's a bad day.
Did you ask him? Did you ask the guy at the veggie?
I mean, what was the point of asking?
The produce guy.
Maybe it was in the back and they just haven't brought it out.
Yeah.
Well, it's a huge section that's always just
They were skimping.
Sprayed with water.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
it's always
the
dripping
broccoli?
Wet.
Yeah. And kale salad there instead.
So what did you pivot to if there's no broccoli?
This was my veggie. Corn on the cob.
Okay, corn on the cob's pretty good.
I don't know if that's a great combo. Oh, steak
and corn is a good combo.
Is that a good combo?
Yes. It's more of a summer combo, but I like it.
It didn't look great on the plate.
Okay.
It felt like it wasn't. When I plated it, it didn't look that great.
What are you, at a 5-star Michelin restaurant? You're at your house.
When I make a nice meal, I like to take a picture
of my
meal. You
like the presentation?
Yes.
Okay.
Big on presentation.
You put a garnish on there, too?
No.
Get some parsley?
A good pivot also would have been like a loaded baked potato.
That's good.
But remember, I'm dealing with a picky eater.
Mm. Yeah, that's fair.
She's not really.
Yeah, who wants a potato slathered
what I wanted
with butter,
to put
cheese,
on there,
and bacon
you
bits?
You guys don't know about this because you guys aren't silly. Bok choy. You don't know about bok choy, do you?
I know of it. I know that I've never had it.
It is a great.
Nubs.
I'll take it.
What do you mean, nubs? It is a great vegetable.
Wasn't he a composer? Johann Sebastian Bok choy.
Could have been.
JP.
But I'll tell you what, he's also a great veggie. And you put a little oyster sauce on it.
Also saying for Skid Row, Sebastian Bok choy. Bobby. So many octaves. All right, when we come back, we'll do EB's entertainment page and Barry's Verluga from the Washington Post. He'll join us at 8:20 right here on The Fan.